From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Thy Will Be Done, Obedience, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Never Ashamed. The text is Matthew 10, verse 32, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Gracious promise! It is a great joy to me to confess my Lord. Whatever my faults may be, I am not ashamed of Jesus, nor do I fear to declare the doctrines of his cross. O Lord, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. Sweet is the prospect which the text sets before me. Friends forsake and enemies exult, but the Lord does not disown his servant. Doubtless my Lord will own me even here, and give me new tokens of his favorable regard. But there comes a day when I must stand before the great Father. What bliss to think that Jesus will confess me then! He will say, This man truly trusted me and was willing to be reproached for my name's sake, and therefore I acknowledge him as mine. The other day a great man was made a knight, and the queen handed him a jeweled garter. But what of that? It will be an honor beyond all honors for the Lord Jesus to confess us in the presence of the divine majesty in the heavens. Never let me be ashamed, O my Lord. Never let me indulge a cowardly silence or allow a faint-hearted compromise. Shall I blush to own him who promises to own me?
From home.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. As the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray, he gave them the timeless words of the Lord's Prayer. At present, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the third petition in the prayer, "Thy will be done." Rather than being some general statement, this petition demands personal application and obedience. God's people are to examine the Scriptures to find out God's will, and then they are to conform their lives to that revealed will. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called, "Thy Will Be Done, Obedience."
When you look at the life of Christ, what theologians call his active obedience, what was he doing? Obeying the will of God. When you look at the death of Christ, his so-called passive obedience. Never really liked that term, to be quite honest. I think it's one of those things where in which theologians have got far too clever for their own good. For Christ was far from passive on the cross, as we understand the word. But in that so-called passive obedience, what was he doing? He was obeying the will of God. The great passion of his life was to do the will of God. He said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." What does that mean? My meat, my food. The only thing that satisfies, that which sustains in the midst of all the things that were going on around about him. He says, that which satisfies, that which sustains, is to do the will of my Father. The latter part of John 5 and verse 30, he said, "I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." That's our example. And that's what the Lord is looking for in every child of His. He's looking for genuine obedience to the will of God. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying this ourselves. "Lord, give me a personal obedience, for this is what you want." You remember what the Lord said of David in Acts 13:22. "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." I think that's a wonderful testimony. When God can say that. You remember he looked at Abraham and he said, "I know him. I know what he'll do." And he went on to say how he would teach his children, etc., and lead them in the way of truth. "I know him." He's saying much the same about David. "I know him. And I know that this is a man who will do my will, who will obey me." What a testimony. It's the constant command of God's Word, summed up, for example, in Romans 12, that we should get to know and do the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And whatever that may cost, in giving up our bodies as living sacrifices to be holy and acceptable unto God, and being separated from the world and not being conformed to it in mind or action, whatever the cost, God is looking for an obedient people. So when we pray this prayer, we're praying, "Lord, first, give us personal obedience." Let me emphasize something, secondly, that I have already hinted at, and that is, when we pray this prayer, we're praying for practical obedience. "Thy will be done on earth." The word "done" emphasizes that it's to be executed. It is to be finished. It is something that actually comes to pass. That's the idea. In other words, this is not a mere dream. This is not a matter of pious words. I don't want to sound berating, but I do think, and as I examine my own heart before God, many a time I have to lament this before the Lord. I do think that all too often Christians get into the way of talking big talk about the things of God. And we think when we have talked a little about it, we have actually done something, when in actual truth we have done absolutely nothing but talk. This is not just a matter of talk. It's a matter of action. This is something practical. When we pray this prayer, we're not wanting simply to impress God with the sound of our words, for we certainly feel in that if that's our aim. There's something actual, something practical here. There's a recognition that the will of God is not a matter for discussion, it is a matter for action. I think I quoted to you a few years ago the words of one of my great heroes, the late Field Marshal Lord Montgomery. Partly because he's an Ulster man, partly because he is one of the few in the high echelons of British aristocracy and military life who unashamedly believed God, believed the Bible, and knelt in his tent to pray over the Word of God every morning on the battlefield and didn't care who knew it. And Lord Montgomery went to Egypt. The British troops were in total disarray. The battles had been lost one after another. And if Egypt had fallen, there is no doubt that Britain's cause in World War II was finished. It was an important command. And on assuming that command, Bernard Montgomery said, "Orders no longer form the basis for discussion, but for action. Previously, orders had generally been queried by subordinates right down the line. I was determined to stop that state of affairs at once." That was the turning point. I thought, and as I read, I have a multi-volume set of the biography of Montgomery. I've often said I've learned more pastoral theology reading that biography than reading any book on the subject of pastoral theology. But as I've read that book, I've realized, take that into the spiritual realm. And isn't it true that the commands of God have become a matter for discussion? You know, there's not a command in Scripture, no matter how clear, no matter how plain, that some idiotic so-called theologian or scholar has not dragged about the field of his so-called expertise to make it mean anything but what the Bible plainly means it to mean. The Bible gives God's people clear commands. One of the great principles of the Protestant Reformation is the perspicuity or the clearness of Scripture. It's not to say every verse in the Bible is alike easy to understand. That would be foolish. But it is to say that the Bible is generally a very simple, clear, understandable book. God says what He means, God means what He says, and He expects us to take note of it. But we have taken the commands of God, and we have made them a matter for querying, for discussing, for twisting and turning. When all the time God is saying, this is not a matter for discussion, this is a matter for action. Instead of talking about my commandments, go and do my commandments. That's what God is saying. It's true of the individual. It's true of the church. Not a church on earth that doesn't believe in the missionary mandate of the church. Surely not at least a fundamental or Reformed or Bible-believing church that doesn't believe in the missionary mandate. But there's an awful lot of churches discuss it, theorize about it, philosophize about it, and do nothing about it. There are a lot of Christians who believe many things about the Christian life. But when it actually gets down to doing something, it's a different matter. Don't just talk about obeying God. Do it. We're a bit like, we're in a position a bit like that of an old sailor who said, on ship, There are only two possibilities, duty or mutiny. Those are the only two possibilities. That's where we are. This text is intensely practical. When we pray, "Thy will be done," and we start with ourselves, "Thy will be done in me." Let it be done practically in me. It gets us down into the trenches of real service for God. It starts off with finding out what the will of the Lord is. What does the will of God or the Word of God say in the given situations of my life? Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 5:17, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." That's where every Christian's got to start. What saith the Scripture? Not what's easy. Not what's popular. Not what can I get away with. Not what can I impose upon Scripture. But what does the Bible actually say here? We're willing to subject all our prejudices and all our personal desires to what the Bible says. In the 25th Psalm, verse 4 and 5, the psalmist prays, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Psalm 119, verse 12, the same idea. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." So we've got to start off by getting to the Word to see what is the will of God. And once we find that out, when we pray this prayer, it means that we consciously conform our lives to those commands of Scripture. Now that's the desire, I think, of every Christian's heart. Every regenerate heart must desire that. If you don't desire that, I doubt that your heart has ever been circumcised. I doubt that it has ever been cleansed. The psalmist prayed again in Psalm 119, verse 5, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." That's the yearning of a regenerate heart. Verse 7, he says, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy judgments, thy righteous judgments." In verse 35, he takes up the same thing. "Make me to go in the way or the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." These are verses which open up the true state of a regenerate heart. And I tell you, my friend, when you learn what the Bible demands of you, then there must be a conscious, deliberate, honest, thoroughgoing, faithful conforming of your life to that commandment. Furthermore, it means doing this even in a hostile environment. Thy will be done where? On earth. In this world, which is full of enmity against God, in this world where there's every sort of opposition and every sort of temptation, when you're in an environment that is certainly not conducive to godliness, the psalmist prayed in the 27th Psalm in verse 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Surrounded by all the foes of godliness, bombarded by all the big guns of the world and its wickedness, we have got to lift our hearts to our God and to cry, "Lord, teach me your way. Keep me true to the Word of God. Let me obey you practically, no matter what the cost may be, no matter what the hostile forces around me may be."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.